This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9.
We are going to be talking about animal companions in video games. And we got a message in from Ronnie, who was going to come in today, but he was feeling unwell. But hi, Ronnie.
Hi, Ronnie.
I hope you feel better. He is so excited for the new Pokemon, and he wanted to throw out a special mention to Daxter. Easily one of the best animal sidekicks ever, he says. And then he also follows that up with, but what animal was he anyway? Is he a weasel? Is he a mongoose? Well, Finn, you just found the answer to this.
Yes, he is a fictional hybrid of a weasel and an otter called an otzel.
Right. Now,
it's unclear how that happened.
It is unclear how that happened. And I don't think
how did a lot of things happen in Jack and Daxter, though?
Yeah, I don't think we need to know. I haven't actually played it. So, Viv, please tell us a bit about Jack and Daxter.
It started off in the first game that they were obviously some kind of human, not so human. I don't even know what they are, really, what Jack is.
Jack kind of looks like an elf.
Yeah, I guess that'd be a good way to describe it. An elf kind of person. Yeah, and they went adventuring on an island they weren't supposed to adventure on. And, yeah, Daxter kind of fell into a pit of black goo and turned into an otzel.
Yes, otzel.
Yeah. he's the whiny, whingy kind of companion that comes along with you. And, yeah. He's fun.
Right. So in the game, do you play as Daxter? Does Daxter help you out? What kind of...
No. At least until, I think, you do get some opportunities to play with him in the second one, so Jack 2.
Yep.
And I think also in Jack 3, I can't quite remember, he doesn't really come up that much as an option to play, but he will help you out with some things. And I know in the first one he kind of collects the gems that you come along with.
Yeah.
And but he does have his own game called Daxter.
Right.
So he does get his own little world of exploration.
Right. So he's been like spawned into a new game where he is no longer the sidekick.
He's still kind
number
of sidekick,
one.
Yeah. he thinks he's number one.
Poor Daxter. Have you played these ones, Finn?
No, I haven't. I was wondering, I heard that it's meant to be kind of like a spiritual success to Banjo-Kazooie. Is that true? Is that fair?
I guess so. I haven't really played Banjo-Kazooie, so I can't really say.
Hang on, you haven't played Banjo-Kazooie?
Yeah, I
really?
Know. I'm sorry. I have not played it.
And then we were talking about this before we came on air, and Vivi's trying to tell me that we can't talk about Banjo-Kazooie because it's an animal companion with another animal.
Yeah, see? Then we're just kind of...
It's a bear and a bird.
Yeah, blurring the lines a little bit of what is an animal companion.
But then I want to talk about Spyro as well, because you have Sparks the dragonfly.
Who's... See, that's the same thing, though. It's because they're both animals, so it's...
Well, maybe we need to define what an animal companion is.
Okay, so Viv, what is your definition of an animal companion?
Essentially, like a human character or human of some description.
Right. Humanoid.
Humanoid, thank you. With some kind of animal companion that helps them along on the way, or even just is kind of there and travels with them.
Finn, what would you say is your...
I think that's fair, but I also think you can tie in other games where even if it's not a humanoid main character, you've still got an animal, which is your companion. And they kind of... They're not a main character, but they kind of will help out at specific moments. I think that also means.
Okay. Hey, but guys, what if we put it out there that humans are animals?
And therefore, wait. Sorry, what?
Humans
what are you saying, Kevin?
Are animals. And therefore, any humanoid character with an animal is still an animal with
an
animal.
Okay, fine.
Oh, well, you've brought out the science.
We could put it in a way that maybe if in their world, whatever companion they have is classed as a pet.
Yes, right.
Or
okay.
something that is not quite okay. as intelligent, then I guess that would be well, seen as an animal
it's
companion.
Like a pet or a
I'm okay
a
with
pet
that.
Or a
I
helper.
Can accept that. Yeah.
Well, why don't we go through a list where it's like the true human animal
yes.
companion list, and then a secondary list where it's like animals,
animals
with animals.
Okay.
Oh god, that sounds terrible.
So the
that
one
sounds awful.
That sounds awful. The one that comes to mind for me, like, well, there's a couple, but the one main one that I always think of is Fable. So in mm-hmm. Fable 2 and 3, you can have a dog.
Yeah.
You can play with the dog. You can interact with the dog. The dog goes and fetches things for you, tells you to sniff out, and you can actually train the dog as well to do different tricks. Mm. And so you can actually get your dog doing tricks in towns and that kind of stuff. So people are like, oh, they're great. Or you can make your dog quite scary.
I was going to ask, like, can you make the dog evil like your own character?
Yeah,
because that's a thing
sure
in Fable,
in
right?
Fable 3 you can.
I don't think so in Fable 2, because that's the only one I've played.
Yeah,
Fable 2.
I think in 3, like, as you know, if you hit your dog, if you, you know, that kind of thing, you can turn them.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I know, it is terrible.
We shouldn't enable this.
Yeah. Every time the dog got scared in Fable 2, I'd like, as soon as it go, I'd just,
like,
I'd run
so
up
sorry.
And pat it. I'd be like, I'm so sorry, puppy. I know it's scary. And then I'd throw the ball for
yeah,
it.
I'm pretty
like,
sure you can make people scared of your dog. At least they're scared of you. And I know in the Fable games, yeah, you change appearance as you, you know, eat and get evil or nice. So I think the same thing happens with your dog, if I remember correctly. But that was obviously one. And then Fallout 4, Finn, with Dog Meat.
Yeah, so Dog Meat's back, which obviously was very important with the announcement of the game. Everyone was like,
apparently there was
Dog
a standing
meat.
Ovation.
Oh, wow, really?
At
wow.
the announcement
that's actually
when
intense.
He came up on the
yeah,
screen.
I mean, so actually in Fallout 4, you've got a variety of companions to choose from because, you know, you meet people along the way. Everyone will know of Cogsworth. Like, you start off with a dog and then you go back to your house 100 years later and your robot servant is just waiting there for you still, so you can make Cogsworth your companion.
Right.
So, but Dog Meat is obviously the like quintessential Fallout companion. You know, he searches out clues and treasure for you. He lets you know when there's enemies nearby. He obviously assists you in battle as well. But at the same time, you know, you have to heal him and make sure that he's okay and all of that kind of stuff
oh,
as well.
Wow,
so,
okay.
Yeah, he's definitely a helper, but you're also like
he's
worried
also a
about
hindrance.
Your companion at the same time. Aww. You're just like, what is the dog doing?
Kind of
in trouble.
It, yeah, it kind of makes it a bit more real because
yeah.
you're having to make sure you're keeping an eye on
yeah.
them.
Yeah, but what do you think, like in games with a companion, do you feel safer if it's like a horror game or a bit of a scary game? Like, do you feel actually safer,
Viv?
I think, yeah, actually, yeah.
This goes to you, Viv.
Segueing yeah. into a few other ones. We have two ones that are pretty similar games that are of the horror genre. We've got Rule of Rose and Haunting Ground, which I know Luke wanted me to talk about, of course, because I love it. But essentially, you've got a female lead in both the games. And she comes across a dog that has been abused or locked up or something like that and befriends it, and the dog becomes their companion. So in Rule of Rose, the dog is called Brown, and in Haunting Ground, the dog is called Huey. I don't care about the girls, they're whatever their names are. I just care about the dogs. But it really does affect how safe you feel in the game because, unfortunately, the girls in the game are quite weak in comparison to being able to actually fight things. So in Haunting Ground, for instance, she can't actually physically fight anyone very much. She just has to run away. So Huey is kind of the protector in that situation. So whatever's chasing after you, he'll try and go after and
try and distract them.
Yeah,
away from
depending
you.
On like your relationship with him and everything.
Okay.
And then in Rule of Rose, Jennifer does kind of fight a little bit, but yeah, Brown is there to help out as well. But There is the possibility of Brown being very badly injured, which is very sad, I think, especially when you're surrounded by crawling masses and they're all like swarming up against you, and then you see your dog die, you're like, no, and then you die afterwards. It's so very tragic. But it is comforting to have them there because they will seek out things that you need, and they will tell you when enemies are getting close, and if they get too close and you're about to die, you know, they'll be all like, don't you touch my human.
There needs to be that website. There's a website called Does the Dog Die in Movies?
Oh, like, yes.
To look up movies and whether or not the dog dies so that you watch it or not. So there needs to be one for like video games. So is it possible really does, that the dog is going to die? Because if it is, I'm not playing that game.
You really do need
to
be
mentally
prepared.
Do you avoid movies on that basis?
Yeah. Like, it's so sad.
Don't you? Like, I can't watch a movie. I can't enjoy a movie where an animal dies in it, like, needlessly.
I try not to investigate movies before I go in.
Right, that's so fair enough.
I can feel the full impact of the dog's eventual
part. And crying and all of that kind of thing. Yeah. So you are on Critical Hit on Joy 94.9. We are talking about animal companions in video games. Feel free to SMS us 0427-JOY-949 or email honor at joy.org.au. Now, we've talked a little bit about dogs. What about horses? So there's a few games which has a horse as a companion. One, obviously, that springs to mind for me is Link with a Pona.
Yeah. See, that, yeah, I think that really does class, even though they don't really do much aside from you riding them, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, but still, they're a companion. You're with them. They help you out. They carry you places.
Like, I mean, say with Epona in Twilight Princess, you know, he gets abducted and you have to go save him, and then he helps you out in different areas and he, like, saves people and that kind of thing. So, you know, there are some storylines that revolve around your animal companion. I mean, Link obviously has a companion fairy as well, which is not an animal, but, or is it? But yeah, you know, like, there's a whole bunch of different horses, you know, where either you ride them, like in say Dragon Age, where the horses just literally ride it, take off, you know, that kind of thing. Or there's like Epona, which I think Link has more of a bond with. There's more storyline attached to Epona. Like, it's not just here's a horse, ride it. It's more like here's your horse, you love it, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it definitely counts, right? Like, there are obviously the types of companions that are with you all the time, but then there's like the faithful come when called companion that kind of swoops in and saves the day. And like, obviously in video games, I think that's things like Epona, but across, you know, movies and books, like you've got
Patronus, I don't know,
sure, or like
the eagles
in Lord of the Rings, or
yeah,
Gandalf's horse Shadowfax, like,
oh yes.
Yeah, I think they all count as animal companions.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. And there's also what's the name? Aggro? Aggro in Shadow of the Colossus.
Yep.
Yeah.
People loving that horse.
They are. Yeah. So, look, there's lots of different horses out there as well. So, you know, there are a whole bunch of different things. Now, we did get a message in from Angie, who has just tuned in late, and we haven't mentioned this one, actually, which said there was a malaria hound in the first True Dragon Age game, sadly missing in the third. Viv, you had this on your list.
Yes, I did, in fact. I can't remember what the dogs are called, but I remember that there was a dog companion that comes along with you. And
so do they just hang out with you? Do they help you out at all?
They help out in the fights and the battles and stuff, yeah. And
what exactly is a malaria hound? I don't like the sound of it.
Kind of like a kind of boar-sized dog.
Oh, wow.
With a really, I'm going to rip you up kind of face.
Nice.
I guess this is like the best way to explain it. But
so
like,
it's a hound. It's a real hound.
It's a war hound, essentially. Yeah, so it's bred for battle.
Yeah.
But like in the game, it's pretty gentle. Like you go to camp and it's like, oh, hey, dog, how's it going?
Oops,
and it's
she
like,
meant, woof, woof. It actually meant to say Mabari, not Malaria. Mabari. thanks for correcting that, because
malaria.
That was autocorrect. I understand Mabari.
Yeah. I was like, why is it called a malaria?
Does
it infect you?
That would have been slightly awkward. No, I think I remember fighting Mabari in Dragon Age, the Inquisition. You know, there's Mabaris you fight.
Oh, okay,
so,
yeah.
I know what you're talking
about
now. That makes a lot more sense
the
than malaria.
Hands.
Hey, look, you know, why not? Let's throw some malaria hounds out there as well, just for funsies.
They'll do some damage.
Critical hit on Joy 94.9. And now, towards the start of the show, we did get a message in trying to find a game from the Amiga era. Top-down game with a small spaceship pushing blocks around. We've been trying, but we can't seem to find the answer for you. We will keep looking, and we will keep putting it out to our community to see if we can find anything. And if we do find it, we'll post it on Facebook to hopefully be able to find what this game is.
Yeah, it's got me intrigued now.
There's just so many Amiga games that we're trying to scroll through them all and see if we can find them, but we'll keep on it. We'll see what we can find. Now, we are talking about companion animals in games. We were just talking about the malaria hounds, a.k.a. the Mabari hounds from Dragon Age, because we've renamed them. So, obviously, there's a whole bunch of different things. You have, say, a passive companion, like, say, World of Warcraft, where you can have your little companion animals.
Yeah.
Or an active companion, again, in World of Warcraft. You've got hunters that, like to have animals as their pets, and they're able to use them for hunting.
Yeah.
And attacking and all that kind of thing. Sorry, I've lost for words. What am I trying to say? I just remember playing a hunter during World of Warcraft and like collecting them because I loved collecting animals.
The cool thing about that was like you could pick and choose exactly what you wanted. So you didn't just get lumped with a dog. Not that dogs aren't great, but you could pick something a little more interested, like a dragon hawk or something.
And they all had different sort of strengths and weaknesses and that kind of thing as well, and different types of attacks.
Yeah. Like you could get, you know, a bit more of a beefy monster to like tank for you, or you
like
can get
dinosaur.
One with high damage, or like, can you get ones that like heal you?
Yeah, you can get sort of a whole bunch of different ones. But you obviously, again, that's that whole thing if you have to look after them, because if they're dying and they die, you then are the target.
Yeah.
So Mike just messaged us back and he said it's a maze game as well. So if that helps.
Oh, so a maze game. Okay. Yeah, that narrows it down. So we should be able to find something.
Fingers crossed we can find out what that is for you. Now, Viv, you have another one to talk about for our topic.
Yeah, I guess I do. I can't talk about it too much because it is my review topic for next week.
So it has to stay super secret.
Oh, super secret. But it's amazing. Like, I really love it.
Everyone,
so I'm
like just... Shh, whispers.
Whispers. it's from Gravity Rush, and also Gravity Rush Remastered, obviously, which I'll be reviewing next week. But you have a animal companion that I kind of like to describe as a space cat.
A space cat.
Space cat.
The best kind of cat.
His name is Dusty.
Cute.
And is literally like this black kind of outline of a cat with a universe inside.
Wow.
So think of a black cat, but like a universe. And like it's moving as well.
Wow.
Which is really, really cool.
Sounds kind of creepy as well.
Yeah.
Like there could be a whole planet with life on it.
Yeah.
In that universe.
And essentially you need you need Dusty throughout the whole game because Dusty is your source of being able to control gravity.
Right.
Yeah, so you can't control gravity without Dusty. Yeah, so he plays a really big role. And plus, it's really cute to just be running along and seeing this little shadow cat just running after you.
Oh, cute. I guess that takes us into, look, we've talked about dogs, we've talked about horses, which is sort of conventional companions.
Mm.
But a cat doesn't appear often.
No, it really doesn't. And the only other game I've seen a cat sort of companion appear in is Fran Bo, if anyone has played that. Which is a horror game, horror-ish game.
So, no, I have never played that.
No, you wouldn't have, I'm sorry.
Kevin has steered clear from that.
It's a really beautiful game, but it's about a young girl named Fran Bo. She's been, like, in an insane asylum and stuff and seeing all these creepy things, saw her parents die, and the one thing she wants most in the world is her little kitty, Mr. Midnight.
So it's really a light-hearted game, obviously.
Oh, yeah, really light-hearted.
You've forgotten Mr. Bigglesworth. Well.
Oh, yeah.
What was that from again?
That was you know the non-playable or usable pets in World of Warcraft?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
It's just like a cat.
Vanity pets.
Yeah.
Also, Lego Harry Potter and possibly the other Harry Potter, they had Hermione's cat.
Yes.
You could use it as a different thing. And also Crookshanks, Scabbers, yeah. The rat, you could use them to do, you had to use them to solve puzzles. Mm. I think the cat.
I think you mean Peter Pettigrew.
Oh!
Spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, no.
I think the cat could, like, dig up things in the ground and yeah. The rat would go through tunnels and that kind of thing.
Okay.
So that's more of that active type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I suppose there's like, there's active type, not so active, I should say, but still kind of play a role in games. Like one, for instance, I'm thinking of is Until Dawn.
Okay.
Have you played that, Finn, at all?
I have. Yeah.
Yeah. So in Until Dawn, trying not to give too much away because it is still fairly new. Some people may not have gotten to it already, but there is a part in it where there is a wolf and there is a possibility that the wolf will accompany you at some point and help you out a little bit.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It actually employs animals quite a lot, that game. Like
yeah.
Actions, like do you help an animal? Do you leave it? Do you harm it? It all, because like the game is about making decisions.
Yeah.
So, and animals play quite a large role in that throughout the game, which is quite cool.
And adds to like the character's overall personality as well. I mean, if you're going to be bad to an animal, that's going to go against your overall
Oh, yeah. I saw an example that went very wrong.
Oh, gosh.
Let's not talk about that then, shall we? So there are obviously lots of different types. And then I suppose, you know, you kind of go away from just the animals and you think about things like Yoshi.
Yeah.
So he has his spin-off games himself, but is also kind of an animal companion to Mario.
He would definitely be classed as an animal companion, I think, even though dinosaurs are more extinct.
They're a real animal. That's what you think.
I often forget that he is an animal companion because he's got obviously his own present
franchise.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh yeah, Yoshi, he was ridden on before.
Wow.
Mario rode him, guys.
Rode him good.
Going downhill.
Absolutely. Wow. When does this show never divulge into interesting topics about riding things? Yeah. But yes.
Never.
Yes. And I just want to touch on, before we do finish up for the show today, we have talked about mainly about animal companions, but there are other games where you have companions that are not animals. So obviously Link has his fairies, also Midna, who is a Twilly in Twilight Princess.
Oh, okay.
Midna, she's a, like, basically she's a princess, but she's, you know, a dark
She's
princess.
A shadow princess.
Shadow princess, that's what the words I was looking for.
Okay.
And then, say, the companion cube in Portal.
Which you, what did you say? You're like, it's a companion slash love interest.
That yeah, was, it's a that love was interest. Viv, yeah. Yeah, it's like, it's not an animal companion, it's a love interest.
That just cube like is the safe. Cake.
Oh, man, we have totally missed one. And thankfully, Liam just messaged me and reminded me that we've missed it. And it goes with our topic from the start. But Pikachu. Every single Pokemon.
That is why we did play the Pokemon theme at the start.
So, especially Pokemon Yellow version, right?
My God, that was amazing.
Like, and this is kind of what I was hoping for in the original games, but like Pikachu follows you around. Like you see Pikachu there on the map with you and you're like, oh.
And you could turn and talk to him and he would be like, love hearts, or he'd be angry. Sad. Or thing. And then you also had your Poke Walker. So you could actually put Pikachu into your little Pokemon thing and you put him on your, like, wore him on your belt.
Oh.
And you could play games throughout the day with him to collect coins and items, I think it was.
I have no memory of this.
Do you not remember your Poke Walker?
No, I don't. No. Was it in Yellow as well? Surely not.
I think
not.
It was Yellow. Maybe it was a later one.
Man, I need to go back and play Yellow. That sounds so cute.
Like, I remember, but it might have been a later one. But it was basically like a little pedometer. So the amount of times you'd step during the day was how many coins you would get.
Wow.
And then you could spend them on things. So maybe it was like a different one. But it was still, you had Pikachu in your pocket, basically. Yeah. So it was really cute. But yeah, Pikachu is definitely a strong companion. And, you know,
Pokemon in general.
Pokemon in general.
Yeah.
Animal companion slash battle slaves.
I think that is the ultimate example of animal companions in games,
well,
is Pokemon.
Animals. We use the term lightly considering some of the Pokemon that come out these days.
Well, yeah.
Bag like, of garbage.
Oh, my God.
Ice cream.
Oh.
A set of keys.
Oh, my gosh. I can't get over that.
They're really creative.
Yeah, totally.
No, you have to absolutely wonder whether they just kind of put a blindfold on and drew on a page.
Draw something. What does this
look
like?
This is a Pokemon.
Like? Yeah, this is totally.
It's called Ice Coney.
I reckon there's going to be an iPhone one soon. I'm predicting it right now. iPhone Pokemon.
Oh, my God. They could do, like, iterations of every single phone, though. Like, you could have a Nokia one, and it could be, like, this total tank, and it can't really be destroyed because it's a Nokia.
Nokia!
And then, yeah, a whole bunch of different other smartphones and all of that kind of stuff, God, which would make amazing Pokemon because, you know. Because
anything will make an amazing Pokemon.
That's exactly right.
Yes, that's
true. They need to do a rainbow Pokemon. It's just literally a rainbow.
A rainbow.
I like it.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.